the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
I said, what up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. I like to wish everyone a belated happy Easter for those who celebrate. I hope everyone had a relaxing weekend, a great Easter Sunday, and are in good health and good spirits. I don't know why, for some reason, this week I have a lot of nervous energy in me. I'm going to take y'all behind the curtain. This is like my fifth attempt to start this episode. This episode to me is so jam-packed. I am actually running the full gamut. I'm covering the full gamut of sports. Well, at least the sports that are in my world. I'm going to touch on baseball. I'm going to touch on football. I'm going to touch on basketball. And then, not only that, not only am I going to do that, I'm going to debut a new segment here on the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. And I got a good, long receipt for two individuals, not one, but two individuals that I do consider dear friends of mine. But being the fact that they should know by now, if they dare me, or should I say, they double dog dare me, or just put that thought out in the atmosphere, I'm going to snatch it and I'm going to run with it. So I have a long receipt for Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach and his brother Zao that will be getting taken care of at the very end of this podcast. Because for my new listeners, for my new followers, for the unwatched masses, if you will, that have chosen to make me part of their weekly viewing, their daily viewing, or what have you, welcome. For the rest of y'all, you know, my dozens and dozens of Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph listeners, I love y'all. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate all the support, and without y'all, I don't know if I could do this. So I, once again, I need to take this time out to really appreciate each and every one of y'all. You, and you, and you, and you, and you. So I'm going to give y'all a rundown of what's on tap this week, and then we're going to actually get to the shit. All right? Sound like a good idea? Yay. Sounds like a good idea. So I'm going to touch on what should be one of the most talked about topics in the world of basketball, in the NBA atmosphere, in NBA circles, but yet I hear crickets, I hear silence, and that's about my New York Knickerbockers and their leader, Jalen Brunson. And why Jalen Brunson is not at the very top, or at least the top three, of MVP consideration. I have my thoughts on that. And since we're still, I'm going to continue on the hard, court, but I'm going to go out west. I'm going to go out to my second team, who has been very frustrating this year. And that team that I speak on, that team that I'm describing, is the Golden State Warriors. And an issue that was brought up in the media circle this past week, and that was concerning the leadership of Steph Curry due to the asinine antics once again displayed by Draymond Green. So that would be topic number two. Topic number three in this rundown will be my New York Jets and their signing, well, not signing, the impending signing, but their trade with those nasty-ass Philadelphia Eagles for defensive end extraordinaire Hassan Reddick. I'll give you the details on that. Then, being the fact that I'm decked out in orange and blue for a reason, and not just to match my border, not to match my color scheme of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. This past week was the opening week of the Major League Baseball season, in which my New York Metropolitans currently stand at the record of 0-3, being swept at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. But that's not really what I'm going to talk about, because, like, longtime Mets fans such as myself, yeah, we might have that inkling, we might have that little feeling of, you know what, you got to believe. But for the most part, you know what we believe? We believe we're going to stink this year. So there's not really much to talk about. But being the fact that this is the opening week, I figured I have something Met-centric. Something that came across my attention this past week. I was watching New York One, you know, Spectrum 1-1. And they discussed the origins of Mrs. Met. Yes. My bitch with the baseball head. Yeah, huh? So, and no, I'm talking about Mrs. Met, the mascot, not the Mrs. Met in real life. The Mrs. Met in real life is my lovely Mrs. Ooh, who is not, I repeat, is not a B-I-T-C-H. So I figured, you know what? I'm gonna espouse in the origins of Mrs. Met just to give some baseball on here, because guess what? My New York Mets don't give me shit to talk about. At least not yet. And tell you the truth, the way it's looking, they're not gonna give me much. So if you're looking for baseball topic, which is very far in between when it comes to the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, especially when my team stinks like they currently do, this is the episode for you. So that is my breakdown. And like I said, I'm going to introduce a new segment here on Mike Steph podcast. And that will be named later. So, the anticipation. Or you can do the cheat code and just look in the description under the chapters and you're pretty much fine. Oh, something here looks different. Something here looks new. Something here doesn't look like the others. Yeah, then you can probably figure it out. So with all that being said and done, let's get this show on the road. Stitch, see, I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to acknowledge you right now. Stitch is actually, you know, looking for handouts. That's why he got this cup in front of him. And since I got it in my hand, I might as well put it on the screen. This cup. What does that say? That says Body More Bottles. Yeah. Check out Body More Bottles on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Not only is this an exclusive Body More Bottles cup. No. This is a double edition cup. You know, every time when WrestleMania comes out, we get these exclusives. So This is the BRP Body More Bottle exclusive that Stitch is currently panhandling with. So, yeah, peace. Peace to the bros. Peace to Zell. Peace to Mav. Peace to Fam. Peace to Cal. Peace to Queen Mimi. Salute. So, with all that being said, I'm going to get this show on the road. I'm going to get this show underway. Without further ado, good night and goodbye. Bang! The New York Knicks were on a roll. They were winners of 7 of the last 8. They were very, very, very temporarily entrenched in the third position in the Eastern Conference playoff race with 8 games to go. And then what should have been a celebratory situation, Jalen Brunson dropping 61 on San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. Unfortunately, they lost that game in overtime. But that's usually not a reason for concern, not a reason for fret until this evening, right before I started recording. They lost another heartbreaker, this time to the OKC Thunder behind a baseline turnaround jumper with 1.8 seconds remaining by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And we went down to defeat for the second consecutive time. And I wasn't really looking in the standings, but I'm quite sure that probably dropped us back down, firmly entrenched into the fourth position. But nevertheless, we clinched the playoff spot. We're not in the play-in. And right now it's a battle between whether we're going to get that fourth spot, try to stave off the Orlando Magic for the fifth spot, and try to get that all-important third slot so we can, quote-unquote, avoid Boston in the second round. Like, I'm sorry. That's the media spin. Why the hell would we want to avoid Boston in the second round? That would belie some type of fear. And that's something that's not on my face. But let me continue. Leading up to these two momentum-stopping losses, we had head coach of the Detroit Pistons, Monty Williams, crying about Dante DiVincenzo making 11 three-pointers against his Pistons, talking about, yeah, that's something I wouldn't have did. You know, that's you know, I found that kind of classless, but I'm not going to speak on that, you know. But how about this? How about you guard somebody? How about you take some type of responsibility for your actions? How about instead of bitching and moaning and complaining, you take responsibility for your absolutely putrid job this year as head coach of the Pistons, following that putrid job that got you fired out in the land of the sun, the Phoenix Suns. And trust me, guess me, don't get me wrong. I am a Monty Williams fan, or I was a Monty Williams fan. He would have been in the category of once a Knick, always a Knick, because he originally was a part of the New York Knicks. But right now, for the foreseeable future, it's always fuck Monty Williams on this side, and I've given him way more time than he deserves on my precious space, on my precious platform. So let me get to this 61 that Jalen dropped on the San Antonio Spurs. Jalen Brunson dropped 61 points on the Spurs in the loss. There was a foul discrepancy. There's a big foul discrepancy. Do you know he only had 6 foul shot attempts on 43 shots? Now, someone would be like, darn, he was chucking. Listen, you got it going. You got it going. Was he the most efficient? Well, he still shot over 50%. I mean, he had 43 attempts, and I think the next closest was Dante with like 17. Okay, but like I said, I think he had 38 in the second half. Like, he was on one. Those 61 points now allow him to stand alone in second place in Knick history in points scored in the game behind the one and only Carmelo Anthony. So, he's averaging damn near 28 a game, if he's not averaging 28 a game right now with that 61-point explosion. First-time All-Star. Should have been an All-Star starter, but that's neither here nor there. He's turned this culture around. He's turned this team around since his addition last year. He got it. He led us into Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals, a place that we had not seen since the third season of Carmelo Anthony back in the 2012-2013 NBA season. Why is Jalen Brunson not in serious consideration for league MVP? I'll wait. Yeah, y'all have no reason. Y'all have no excuses, do y'all? Y'all don't have no answer for that, do y'all? Like, Jalen Brunson. Now, this is a team that for long stretches of the season, we've been down Julius Randle, who is the second leading scorer. We've been down Mitch Robinson, who is their defensive anchor since December. We've been down our big chip in the trade with Toronto, OG Anunoby, for a long stretch of time. We've been winning, and I won't say with smoke and mirrors because that would belie the toughness. That would belie the grit that we've displayed over this long stretch. But we've been led by Jalen Brunson. We've been led by the big three of Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Hart. But do you know who makes DiVincenzo and Hart invaluable to the team? The leadership of Jalen Brunson. So why is he not getting any love for being a league MVP? He's not even in the top five. If you take it from all the media pundits, all the NBA pundits, is it because of his size? Quiet is kept. When he was in Dallas, Dallas got to the Western Conference Finals the last year that Jalen Brunson was on that team. In the season and a half that they've had the duo of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And right now, they're in play-in position. They're in play-in contention. Yeah, their record isn't what their record is, but if it wasn't for Jalen Brunson, they wouldn't have got out that first-round matchup a couple years ago against the Utah Jazz, where it was Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell going back and forth. And Jalen Brunson has had Donovan Mitchell's lunch for the last three seasons running. Now, is it because it approved all the naysayers, wrong in the NBA media? Like, all the ones who even after last year refused to give him his just due? Like, not only has he become the point guard that we've needed for decades, he's actually the superstar that nobody knew we needed. Everybody said, well, you know, he's a good complimentary piece. He'll be able to organize the offense, but we still need that star. No, the fuck we don't. We need somebody who complements him. We need somebody in the form of Julius Randle, but just happens not to be Julius Randle. We need somebody just to take just a little bit of the scoring pressure, the scoring load off of Jalen Brunson. But for those who are saying, or those who have thought that Jalen Brunson is not a number one option, not a 1A option, not a 1B option, you're sadly mistaken. He's the glue. Him and his Nova boys have instilled a gritty culture that shows you just how the camaraderie that garnered them two, not one, but two championships in college, how that was done. Everyone's always talking about, like I said, everybody's always talking about that one big piece that we need to contend. Nah. I wager that all we need, that piece that we need, is a piece to lengthen the already incredible depth that we already have. Look at it this way. I'm going to talk about players that we currently have on this roster, right? The development of Deuce McBride is something to marvel at. Think about it. He went from a DMP to 7 minutes a game to 15 minutes a game to now being able to lock up Steph Curry for a game and on the other end, drop 26. He's dropped 29 points two games in the last couple weeks. He had 9 3-pointers the other day himself. Looked like he was about to break Dante's record himself. Who would have thought that these shrewd moves made by the front office would have been as incredible as they've been? Who would have thought that Precious Achiuwa would be a diamond in the rough? Most wrote him off as a throw-in with the OG trade. He's held the fort at times due to the injuries of Randall and Anunoby. Like, Hartenstein, you know, my brother, is another move that no one was looking at when we signed him. But where would we be without him stepping in for in the absence of Mitch Robinson? Dante DiVincenzo, as I already stated, has been a perfect fit due to the aforementioned chemistry with Hart and Brunson. And the lovely Mia is about to make her appearance. Hey!
You're funny.
How you doing? I heard that lock. I looked at the time. And being the fact that Mia came home at this time, that usually means she either got a ride home or she took an Uber. See, I knew it was car because if it was train, plane, or automobile, actually plane, train, or bus, she would have been getting in probably like during my third or fourth segment. She might not even came in before I wrapped this up. How was your day? That's good.
I bought my own grapes.
You bought your own grapes?
I bought my own
Ain't grapes. That a bitch?
Oh.
Let me see the grapes. Come.
It's not.
Say hi. Okay. It's Easter. Right. Well, it's still Easter.
Hi, y'all. I can't even hear.
No, yeah, come.
But this way?
Yeah, that way. See? Listen, I know. I was in the middle of talking about the Knicks. We'll get to the Knicks. We'll finish with the Knicks in a minute. What grapes did you buy?
Dark black,
purple,
black
seedless.
Seedless.
Okay.
Grapes,
right? Yeah.
They're ocean spray.
Oh, are they big like mine?
I think medium.
Medium.
Smarge. I don't.
Smarge. That's a good one. Medium and smarge. Did you taste it? So you have no idea if they're actually legitimate ocean spray grapes.
Well, first of all, I would like to...
Nah, I get it.
You know what? For fruit nowadays, when I'm eating it, I don't mind it not being sweet.
Okay.
Just to, like, ease myself off of the sweet.
I get it.
You know, so...
But you don't want no watery-ass grapes.
I mean, I also...
Because remember, you know, there's some batches I get, I'm like...
Okay. But... Yay! So no more stealing from you.
People are grapes. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction.
Right. I'm growing up.
You know, like I try to bring some healthy fruit in the spot. And next thing I know, I go in, I have no grapes. I did find out today, or I actually put two and two together today, that you know that me breaking out around my nose, I think it's the apples. Because I haven't had any apples this week. And look at this simply. Ravishing face.
Wait, so you're breaking out because you're not eating apples?
No, I'm not breaking out now. Look.
No, I'm asking.
No, I'm saying, remember when I showed you before?
Yeah.
I was eating apples. I haven't had no apples in a week. You see the difference?
Have you been cleaning your apples? I mean, it's not like
yes.
You're rubbing apples on your face.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Slice them up. You hear? Have you been cleaning your apples?
No, it's like sometimes you can be forgetful.
No.
Sometimes it happens. I'm not saying that you are.
You mean you're just talking about in general?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Chris said, I'm like, don't put that on me. I ain't nasty.
I said
sometimes people. Yeah, I know. Listen, people. Some people are nasty. Period. They don't clean shit. You know, just like some people just take their chicken out the pack and just puts it straight on the grill. I think that's just juice and all.
The white people, the white person thing.
No seasoning.
Yeah.
Bland. Yeah. Bland existence. I lied. Had to take a nap.
The Mets game today or something?
I figured I matched my background. Yeah. Orange and blue. No, I'm talking about even here. Look, orange and blue. Okay. Yeah, I kind of blend in.
I'm gonna let you get back to it.
Now, where was I when I was talking about my orange and blue skies? The Knicks. Yeah, I was talking about Dante DiVincenzo. He has fit perfectly due to the aforementioned chemistry with Hart and Brunson, right? But while he may have his warts, and this is the head coach I'm talking about, Tom Thibodeau has pushed the right buttons and gotten everything out of this roster so far this season. There is no one in the East that I'm afraid of. Boston can be had. Milwaukee's time has passed due to them thinking that they needed that one star. That one star in which they traded their defensive heart and Drew Holiday and got their turn. And where has that gotten them? Yeah. And we were pretty much the 3 seed with less than nine games remaining. But guess what? We're probably like the 4 seed with about seven games remaining. And three of those last seven games are against the Chicago Bulls. So it'll be interesting that Chicago is probably pretty much locked into the play-in slot. But it'll be interesting that the Chicago Bulls will actually have a big say in whether or not we stay at 4, we slide to 5, or we can actually regain 3. It'll be a very interesting next week and a half, but I'm going to keep a lookout. I'm going to find out. I mean, I'm going to continue to sound the horn for Jalen Brunson being in the MVP consideration. And shout out to Hip to the Games on 19 Media Group YouTube channel. And I'm going to keep on hounding him for nominating him every other week, i.e. every episode, Dog of the Week. Because as long as Jalen Brunson is playing, Jalen Brunson will be that Dog of the Week. Take it to the bank. Is Steph Curry finally fed up with the bullshit that Draymond Green has been pulling, especially this year? Is it over for Draymond Green? Think about it. Just this season, Draymond got suspended for what? 6 games for yoking up Rudy Gobert. Then he got suspended indefinitely for socking Yusef Nurkic for the flailing fist that miraculously hit Nurkic in the face. Then he came back, and then he went on a tour, pretty much stating how close he was to retiring because it wasn't worth it anymore, and how Adam Silver had to convince him to stay in the league, which is some real bullish. And then, my thing, the most egregious act so far this season was what he pulled this past week against the Orlando Magic. That had Steph Curry literally fighting back tears of frustration, fighting back tears of aggravation, fighting back tears of anger over the idiocy that Draymond Green has continued to pull. Like, this dude Draymond has to be the most ungrateful motherfucker in the NBA at this current time. As I stated in December, when he got suspended indefinitely due to his back-to-back incidents of violence, or more specifically, a stupidity, he has played a big part in the death of the dynasty, the death of the Warriors dynasty. He has cost them plenty over the years due to his outbursts, due to his suspensions at the wrong time, and most recently, due to assaulting a teammate that was counted on to lead them into the next era, to lead them into the future. It got so untenable after he cold-cocked Jordan Poole that they had to trade said teammate, and the player, to me, is a shell of what he once was and maybe will never fulfill any of which he was on the path to achieve. And that was due to the pure jealousy, the pure envy, the pure jealous one's envy, the Joe and Draymond. Now, don't get me wrong. Over the years, his impact still can't be denied. But now it's more negative than positive overall. Like, take this past week's game against Orlando, for example. Not even 4 minutes into a must-win game to keep their play-in, not playoff chances, their play-in chances alive. You had the streaking Houston Rockets, who have come back from the dead, led by Big Dick Doc Udoka on an 11-game winning streak, coming for the Warriors, had them put Instagram posts calling out the Warriors. Warriors, come out and play. They were coming for the ass like Diddy. Listen, you know what? Side note, fuck it. I don't know how true that recording is that's floating around the internet streets with supposedly Meek Mill getting his shit pushed in. But I'm just saying. But yeah, this is what the Warriors were facing in this must-win matchup against Orlando Magic. And what did Draymond do? Draymond gets back-to-back texts for an innocuous foul against Andrew Wiggins. He wasn't even involved in the play. And then it was there where you witnessed the breaking point of Steph Curry. And I'm going to put this vision back on the screen. After Draymond went to the locker room, Steph could be seen getting consoled by Steve Kerr. And the frustration on Steph Curry's face was so apparent, he had to conceal these tears with his own jersey. Even at the end of the game, when he secured the win with a dagger three, there was a short celebratory night-night gesture, but that was quickly followed up with a kick of the chairs on the sideline and a move that he normally wouldn't be seen doing. To follow this up, the next game against the Charlotte Hornets, Draymond Green gets into it with Grant Williams. And he's lucky he didn't get a text from that. It's like all this self-evaluation talk that he was spewing on his tour, on his comeback tour. When he came back off the indefinite suspension, he went on the 7 p.m. with Mello, with Miro and Mello podcast, and said the indefinite suspension wasn't so much due to his actions, it was Adam Silver giving him the space that he needed to really reevaluate whether or not he still wanted to play the game that he so richly loves. Like, really? Like, this is what we doing here? This is what he's doing here? No accountability whatsoever. No accountability whatsoever. So not only did he come back from suspension, not only did he come back from owning his mistake in the previous game, but the actions in the game following that were for naught. My thing, he cannot be trusted. And that's why I think Steph acted in the manner that we saw. It's almost like it dawned on him finally that this motherfucker's going to be the end of my career. And being in a relevant championship situation. This mother effer. Like, those were tears of, you have a family member that you love dearly, that you ride and die for, but certain things that they do, you just cannot excuse any further. It's like, damn, I'm really going to have to create some distance from me and my man. Create some distance from me and my brother. That to me, that's what I garnered out of that. It was like, all right, I know the season isn't over until it's over, but in this off season, he can't come back. But I don't think he'll ever verbalize that. And I don't think he'll ever fully realize that in his heart. But when those discussions are being had in the offseason, best believe those discussions will be being had in the offseason. I think they need to pull that trigger. Unfortunately, the dynasty is dead. I said in December and officially now. What they did, they continue to enable Draymond over and over and over and over and over again to the point that we got to this point right here. Costing you part of your supposed core going forward, you rewarded him with a brand new spanking contract, even though the tenuous subject of that contract that he was looking for was probably an impetus for him to not Jordan Poole the fuck out. Because Jordan Poole got paid the season prior, and Draymond's like, damn, he got some of the bread that I was expecting to get. And he's cocky about it. Y'all got to knock this mother effer out. Just keep on playing with me. Keep on playing with me. And just dead on him. And you reward this dude with a $100 million contract for 4 years going forward. In which, you know, more likely, at least two of those 4 years, the back end of that contract is going to look like trash. And tell you the truth, the first year of this contract looked like trash because how many games have he been available for? How many games has he lost with his absence? How many games has he lost with his presence? Yeah, I know he's like a security blanket when it comes to Steph. I get it. I truly get it. But quietly, it's been 2 years since the last chip. 4 of the last 5 years have been substandard to the standards of the Golden State Warriors. And yet, this mother keeps with the bullshit. When will it end? When will it end? Now, I'm going to piggyback over something that, credit due to It Is What It Is, Cam and Mace. Mace said a very valid point when it came to the core three of the Warriors. Sans Steph, because Steph is not worried about such things, and Steph is still playing at a very high level. This one was more focused on Klay Thompson. Put in his words, Klay was so busy pocket watching the last couple years that he didn't realize that the dude that he was secretly hating on, no matter what they say in the media, no matter what he says in private, matter of fact, in public, in private, he's like, damn, this dude or these dudes that got their bread is going to prevent me from getting my bread. Not realizing he's coming back off two major injuries, coming back off the torn ACL and then the torn Achilles. The shots that Jordan Poole was taking the last 2 years when Klay was coming back allowed Klay to come out in spurts and not have the focus squarely on him. Now, once they jettison Poole out of the way, out off the team, and Klay was back in the position that he desperately craved, especially in a contract year, reality hit. Those shots that you're dependent on making now, you're not able to make them on a consistent basis anymore. And you're stressing so much over the fact that you want that bread that you're putting extra additional pressure on yourself to make those shots that you're not making on a consistent basis anymore. And that all stemmed from the almighty Joe, Jealous One's Envy. So salute to Mace for that take, because everybody's been focused on Draymond when it came to that. I think it affected Klay also. And two-thirds of the Trinity are diminished both mentally and physically. Championship number 8 is not coming. Steph is not leaving. Steph is not going to ask anybody to leave. But Steph, that frustration is like, you know what? I'm just going to have to ride this out. I'm going to do the best of my abilities. Remember last year, and the bottom line is, remember last year in Game 7 against the Kings, where it came out that Steph had a team meeting, and very seldom is he vocal, but he pretty much got in people's face like, look, if you down to ride, we need you now. If you're not, get the fuck out my way. I'm going to get us there. I'm going to get us to the next step, to the next level, to the next stage. But I'm letting y'all know right now, y'all not here. If y'all not on the same page, get the fuck out my way. For it to take that level of angst for him to just say, you know what? I have to do what I have to do to try to get us there. And you saw it in that Lakers series last year. He was drained. Poole was checked out, especially after the end of the first, at the end of game one, when he took that three and he missed. And all the scuttlebutt was, yo, why are you taking that three? You know you're supposed to pass that to Steph. You know you're supposed to pass that ball. That was the official end of the dynasty. Just saying. So it's sad, but it's one of those things that history proves that dynasties never end great. They always end ugly. Look at football. The Cowboys dynasty. They had to get Jimmy up out of there. Jerry Jones like, nah, we got to bring my boy Barry Switzer in here. Yeah, get another ring. My team. Even now. With the Patriots, they had to mutually part ways with Bill Belichick. But that's before, well, that's after they jettisoned or allowed Tom Brady to say bye-bye and go and get a ring someplace else. The only dynasty that I could see that didn't end ugly, especially in football, was the 49ers of the 80s. Think about it. Those four championships with Joe Montana in the 80s, 81, 84, 88, 89. After that, Joe Montana got his shit rocked. Never was the same. Went to Kansas City. got them to the AFC Championship game, but it didn't implode. They were still able to stay there until Steve Young got them back over the hump in 94. But yeah, that's really the only dynasty in my lifetime, especially in football, that didn't end ugly. Shoot, the Bulls of the 90s ended ugly. Jerry Reinsdorf and Krause was like, yo, this is the last dance, hence the documentary. So, Warriors, bye-bye. The Jets made a trade with the Eagles this past week for Hassan Reddick for a conditional third-round pick that can turn into a second-round pick based on percent of snaps, playing time percentage. And y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. If he plays 67.5% of the playing time and his sack production is at least 10 sacks or above, that third round pick was turned into a second round pick. Guess what? Last season, he had 11 sacks and played 74% of the time. Do you know that he has accumulated 50 sacks in the past 4 years? That Hassan Reddick, along with Myles Garrett, are the only two players to have 10-plus sacks in each of the last 4 years? The Jets will pick up $14.5 million that is owed on his contract this upcoming season. And there is an expectation that his contract will be extended. Probably it's 24, so they add on 2 more years, 26. But this is an ultimate win now move. It makes you wonder, almost similarly how I discussed a couple weeks ago, that was there any way that we could have traded Huff for someone? Well, guess what? We could have traded, maybe did a sign and trade with Bryce Huff to the Eagles for Hassan Reddick. Numbers don't really match up because what Huff is going to get on an average of 20 a year. I think this is a win. This kind of makes my discussion last week about us getting Jadeveon Clowney a little null and void. But in a roundabout way, I believe he's a better fit. He's an upgrade over Jadeveon Clowney. Plus, he's in a contract year, meaning he has something to prove. If not to get the money from us, but to get the money from someone else. Yeah, okay. There is an age discrepancy. I believe Bryce Huff's like 25. And Reddick is 29. But this is a win now move. Look at our defensive front. We have Jermaine Johnson. We have Quinnen Williams. We have John Franklin Myers, who I'm quite sure would be asked to take a pay cut. We have Hassan Reddick. That's our four, our top four. Then we have Will McDonald and Michael Clemens. Splitting time. Then we're going to have the two nose tackles, the two defensive tackles splitting time on Ken Law and Fatu or whatever the hell his name is. You know, but they're pretty much just there to take up space. Reddick is good against the run. He's stout against the run. So it's not like you got to take him off the field first and second down. And if everything goes according to plan, and we're playing with more leads, because some people are like, well, darn, isn't this an indictment on Will McDonald? You know, we invested the first round pick with him last year. Not so fast, my friend. Look at it this way. If we have leads and end with fourth quarter, and we're just sicking the dogs on them. We can get those, we can get Will McDonald into those reps, especially if he comes into this season taking that next physical step, that physical leap that Jermaine Johnson took from year one to year two. If he rounds him out, fills himself out physically, then those small percentage of reps that he would be able to get just primarily rushing the quarterback and learning on the job, learning from Hassan Reddick, from a more mature Jermaine Johnson, would do him well in the future. And if he really shows and proves, maybe that might render Hassan Reddick a little bit expendable, or at least give us some type of leverage when it comes to renegotiating his contract. It's a win-win. Our defense gets more stout by the week. Yeah, the amount of moves has slowed down because guess what? Look, free agency is a frenzy the first week, and then it starts slowing to a drip. And right now, this is where we get the drips. And this is not really so much free agency. This is Trader Joe doing the damn thing. This is a very shrewd trade to attach the amount of time to the amount of collateral. And remember, it's a 2026 draft pick, not a 24, not a 25. So if this doesn't pan out, if the season doesn't pan out, guess what? That's not on his ledger, because guess what? Trader Joe Douglas will not be here in 26 if we do not make some serious inroads in 24. Yeah, it's I really like this move. I really like this move. You know, Coach Sala has been quoted on the record leading into the Philadelphia Eagles game last season that, you know, how much respect that he had for Reddick, how much, you know, how much he really respected his motor, respected his game, respect his IQ, and to have Reddick at his disposal, I'm quite sure Salah's creaming in his pants talking about, yeah, oh my goodness, I got Reddick, I got Quinnen, I could do some stunts. Damn, daddy. I'm sorry. That's anyway, but yeah, this was a great trade by the Jets, and something we have been asking for the last couple years of how come all the contending teams never have a problem trying to fit different pieces under their salary cap, but yet we're always hamstrung by the salary cap. Guess what? This is one of the situations. I don't know how they fit them in, but they fit them in, and we still have money left over to go into this upcoming NFL draft and to have money to kind of throw around when we finally get those June 1st cuts that maybe we could fill in the back end of our roster with to get us some much needed depth, maybe on offensive line, maybe in the secondary, specifically safety. Maybe we bring back Ashton Davis. Who knows? These are things that are still up in the air, but it's a great move. Gives a thumbs up for me. The New York Metropolitans opened the season like trash. Like the trash we've become accustomed to. The New York Mets have started off struggling. Yeah, I'm going to make this short and sweet when it comes to Mets, because the main event of this segment actually is dealing with Mrs. Met. The New York Mets have started off struggling. Luis Severino is the bust that we all knew we was acquiring. He went five innings and gave up six earned runs on 88 pitches in his Saturday New York Met debut. Who thought that this move was going to pan out? Raise your hands. My thought exactly. The Yanks got rid of him for a reason. Now, bats are still asleep. They got one hit on opening day and made a fake comeback this past Saturday in the second game of the three-game set that they ultimately got swept in embarrassment by the Milwaukee Brewers. coincidentally, the former team that our GM, president of operations, whatever title that they bestowed upon him, David Stearns, used to run. That organization there swept of essence. This past Saturday, it was down 7-2 and 8 before garbage time homers by Brett Batty, a 3-1 shot, and a solo shot by the polar bear Pete Alonso in the ninth, drew us to within 7-6, and the game was 1-2-3 in the ninth. Well, after the solo shot, it was a wrap. Now, this comes after there was some animosity between teams when former Philly Rhys Hoskins tried to take out Jeff McNeil at second base. And of course, no harm, no foul, because technically within the letter of the law, it was a legal play. But when you're behind your legion of teammates talking shit, talking about wah, cry me a river, that kind of belies the fact that what your intentions really were. And how did we get repaid for this? When one of our pitchers threw at one of their batters, I think they got a 2-game suspension, something to that effect. This game, this past Sunday, I'm going to look this up real quick on the trusty micometer. We lost 4-1, and it wasn't that close. The stats. Tyler McGill went 4 innings before he left with shoulder problems, shoulder soreness, due for MRI. 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 4 Ks, 78 pitches had. And wonder why he had a sore shoulder. He had 78 pitches in 4 innings. Sheesh. Ramirez. 3 innings pitch, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks, 41 pitches. And just looking at this lineup, like, how many hits did we have? Oh, we had 7. But guess what? Nemo, 0 for 4. Lindor, 0 for 4. Pete Alonso, starting his hot start because he went that bag, 2 for 4. He's hitting 364 in the very, very infant stages of the season. Sterling Marte, 1 for 4. Jeff McNeil, 0 for 4. So, our top five batters in the lineup. Nemo is hitting .077. Lindor is hitting .083. Pete Alonso is hitting .364. Jeff O'Neill is hitting .091, and Sterling Marte is hitting .300. So when 3 of your top 5 in your batting order is hitting below 100, guess what? How many games we're going to win? 0. How many games did we win? 0. How many more minutes I'm going to talk about these cocksuckers? 0. How about that? Now, before I actually get into the most pertinent subject of this segment, and that's Mrs. Met.
Meet the Mets. Stand on top and meet the Mets.
I have one comment to say to a particular transplanted Yankee fan. And don't get me wrong, we're not starting the baseball wars of 2024. That's not what we're doing. Because, to tell you the truth, right now, I don't have a leg to stand on. All because y'all won your little 2-game, 3-game set. Matter of fact, let's see. Did they sweep the Astros? Did they? Let's look. Yeah, they swept the Astros. Four-game sweep. I think that has a lot to do with the current state of the Astros than the current state with the Yankees. Because if I get a voice memo, the Yankees win. And it's before April? Having comments about that precious mane that someone no longer has would be the least of your concern. Like I said, now getting to the feature presentation when you're talking about Met folklore. The origins of Mrs. Met. Look at this picture. This was the original Mrs. Met mascot in the mid-1970s. I believe they debuted the year that I was born, 1976. If you notice, she has a skirt. She has a dress. She has no stockings, not need. She has, look like she had a little dirt on her chin. Dirt on her cheek. But that's the original Mrs. Met. Do you know that Mrs. Met was introduced in 1976? She was named Lady Met in the 60s. Now, the first Mrs. Met lasted about 2 years and ironically met her real life birth boyfriend, who she got a job as Mr. Met. I believe they were getting, $100. I think it's like $100 a game or something to that effect, $100 a week, probably $100 a week to be mascots for the Mets. No, not this guy. Yeah, him. But we're not talking about Mr. Met. We're talking about Mrs. Met. So, she used to wear a skirt until it became too risky to have her walk in the stands because, you know, a lot of sports fans, a lot of men are perverts. So, of course, they see Mrs. Met. They've had a couple drinks. They've had a couple beers, some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and was trying to get it popping. And I'm quite sure trying to slide that hand up that skirt. So they deemed it too risky, or she realized it was too risky to go into the stands. So, being the fact that technically she was a blonde, it took her a while, but she eventually realized that it would probably be best for her to stand on the field behind the guardrail and allow them to come to her, so therefore she can have some type of control over the situation. The New York Mets reportedly revived Mrs. Met very briefly in 2005. But it wasn't until 2013 that the team brought Mrs. Met back to Queens in earnest. That year, the Mets were set to host the Major League Baseball All-Star Game at Citi Field. A few weeks before the game, the Mets announced that a new Mrs. Met mascot would meet and greet the fans and appear during the All-Star Game festivities. A senior New York Mets official reported that Mrs. Met had been working as an event planner over the years and was ready to return to full-time work now that her little baby Mets were full-grown. In addition to her on-field appearances, Mrs. Met appeared for various non-game day events. Her first name, coincidentally, is Jan. Now, in a quote taken from the original Mrs. Met named Lynn Farrell, she would say the following. Man, they would grab my legs. She played the first Mrs. Met as a teenager, mind you. It took me a while as a blonde to, you know, go stand by the railing next to the guards. For $100 a game, Farrell, at the time of this interview, was 56 and living in Long Island, chatting of fans, cool their babies, and signed autographs. But Mrs. Met, along with her husband, mysteriously vanished in the late 1970s. Pharrell says, I always wondered what happened to her. I always thought it was because her legs got grabbed in the stands too much that they put her in to the Mrs. Met facade. And that's possible. She says she took the job so seriously that she eventually wed the man inside the Mr. Met getup, John Bauman, in 1976. The two were married, meaning they've since split ways, for 25 years. She says that the new version of the character doesn't compare to her old school gal. I saw the picture of the new Mrs. Met. And she has a baseball uniform and a brown ponytail. I think my Mrs. Met was way hotter. Now, I'm going to show y'all some pictures. This was Mrs. Met in the city, socks in the city. This is Mr. and Mrs. Met walking down City Field. And this picture is infamous because a lot of pervs out there was like, yo, since when did Mrs. Met get the fatty back there? Like, literally, she looked like she's hiding two baseballs on her behind. And Mrs. Met right here was showing off the ponytail and showing off the tail, if you get my drift. But like I said previously, y'all have to realize, these mascots, you don't know if this is a teenager in the mascot. You don't know if it's a grown woman. So please, please be respectful. Please be respectful. Uniwatch's Paul Lucas also interviewed Pharrell 2 years earlier with her again sharing the story of being grabbed during the 1975-1976 seasons when she was still in high school. Paul asked, and even with your supposed husband right there, fans were basically groping you? Yeah, she answered. You couldn't really see out of their big head. So you just feel someone on your leg, but you couldn't see it. And I had to turn my whole body and hold the head to look down. It was a little rough. Later on, I often wondered what happened to Mrs. Met. And maybe they thought it was easier not to have to deal with all that stuff that I dealt with. The moral of the story, besides the fact that there might be a 17-year-old girl under that giant baseball head, leave Mrs. Met alone, or she might disappear for another couple decades. Interesting story. Interesting story. I mean, especially being the fact that, like, it seemed like this is what they was actually going after. Why are you showing Mr. and Mrs. Met the backside of Mr. and Mrs. Met? Why? Why do you have her in colorful lights walking so daintily? Why? It's almost like, do we have any frontals of Mrs. Met? Do we? I mean, we've come a long way from Lady Met to Mrs. Met to Mrs. Met with baseballs in the back of her pants. But yeah, I just figured I'd give y'all a little history lesson on the origins of Mrs. Met. Because like I said, when you're dealing with the present day piece of crap team that we're dealing with, Uncle Steve, listen, I know it's early in the season, but not going to get my full attention. I know I have at least two outings that I have to do this season to City Field. And as the two subjects of my next segment have discussed in our group chat, it seemed like we go to City Field just to shop and just to eat and to take in the sights, because the product on the field has been abysmal. Yeah, what's on your screen right now is exactly what the fuck it looks like. Yeah, this is a text a group text, a group chat, if you will. Hence the name of this segment, Group Chat Shenanigans. They tried to put me on the Summer Jam screen, so guess what? I put their asses on the Summer Jam screen. Spinny from the group home in Bergen Beach. My man Al. My man's Al. Which is reading on the screen is in reference to something that has been an ongoing narrative in our group chat. And that is the amount of texts that I wake up to on a daily basis. Do we have any, is there any such thing as group chat etiquette? Matter of fact, the lovely Mia, can I ask you, can I indulge you for a question? Come here for a minute. Okay. Because maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. And mind you, I'm saying this half in jest. So for those who don't really know, don't take it that personally. Are you involved in any group chats? Okay. What would you perceive one of the rules of, do you believe there's any type of group chat etiquette? Remember, speak up because I know you don't want to be on screen. Yeah, oh, come. Well, you can stand, you can, you know, do your usuals. They can hear you, but they don't need to see you.
Okay. I don't know. I guess my biggest pet peeve in a group chat is like when I send something and they don't, they don't respond or they ignore it and like start their own little conversation. No, like not like that, but like they'll just ignore what you say.
Oh, so you don't feel like you're being seen. You don't feel like being heard.
Yeah.
So don't ignore me. Like I'm part of the group.
Yeah.
So pretty much you feel like
but it's
the
like,
attention should be on you also.
Shared attention.
Because like, other brother, like if y'all got your own thing, then do that shit on your regular.
Yeah, especially if I like take the time to like find something funny and I send it to the group chat, I just like skip over it.
Oh wow. Not even an emoji.
Not even, you know, you have an Android, so like, but like with the iPhone, you have like a laugh and react, love react.
Yeah, I know. I have that similar problem on my group chat. Yeah, I know. I don't put that shit on the Summer Jam screen.
Oh.
But I have a similar problem. But thing is, when has an Android, when has an iPhone? But in the new editions of the Android, like your mother's, because you know your mother had the S. You know, the S series,
right.
You can actually do an emoji to like, I love that, or I laughed at that, or so forth.
Yeah, like not even that. So that's something I'm big on. But I know
my daughter wants to be acknowledged.
All right. But it doesn't happen all the time. Like, I'm in a very mature group chat. You know, everybody responds to each other, so it's nice, but that's just one thing that I would say is like key when being in a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Like just shared attention, shared, you know,
okay,
responses. Other than that, I don't know, I guess just like don't overdo it, like don't spam my phone, you know.
Okay.
But like you can't.
And what do you mean by spamming the phone?
Maybe it's just me because I don't really like being bothered too much.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't even be in the group chat because like everybody's sending something and it's like your notifications are constantly going off.
You are your father's child.
So that, I don't know. That's just, this is me personally. I don't think I'm the best person to ask for group chat etiquette because sometimes if it gets too much, I just have to like mute the group chat. Yeah.
The reason I ask, because maybe it's just me. Okay. The reason why this is actually a segment, mm-hmm. because if you read right here, what does it say?
It's going to be a podcast topic.
Okay. So since you think it's going to be a podcast topic, guess what? It's going to be a podcast topic. No, the thing is, in all seriousness, well, seriousness as they could be,
The screenshot.
I know. I'm so petty. Thing is, so we're in this group chat, right? And now they're mourning people. I'm not.
Yeah.
So for a while, I had to kind of mute the witch guard because I lay with my, even though I know I shouldn't, I lay with my phone underneath my pillow.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when they get into a ding, 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 it wait, like waking up, like, what the fuck? Right? So, you know, so I witch guard, so I muted it, but I, being the fact I know I muted it, I do check in, like, all right, okay, let me cut it, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm just being antisocial or whatever, right? So, and now I have a common refrain of, I actually comment on the amount of messages I wake up to. So one morning, one afternoon, because I get up the time, one goes to work, one has to be at work, and the time the other one's actually going to work, that's the time I wake up around 1 o'clock, right? Okay. Don't you know, there was one time this last week, I woke up to 46 fucking texts. 46.
How many people are in the group chat?
Me and two others.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of how my group chat is set up.
Right? So I'm like, all right, fine. So I put it like, yeah. So I just like, yeah, let me put 46, really? Like, damn, like, y'all going ham, you know, because it's a lot of witch girl, you know, like, memes a lot of,
stuff.
Huh? Not even mean, but witch girl, like Instagram links or whatever, like, yeah. You know, stuff like that. Okay, fine. So going back to this darn screenshot I'm going to have, so it doesn't look like I'm just which got leaving the viewers out. When I put it, tell us how you really feel. Then he saw messing with me. Oh, that was message 12. Actually, no, that's message 13. Oh, wow, you pushed it there, Smitty. That's message 14. It's going to be a podcast. You're damn right. You're damn right. Because this actually gets into another reason why I had to mute the group chat. And before I get into that, because I really don't want to have this discussion in front of my daughter. Trust me, you even though you're an adult, you don't want to hear that.
Okay.
You have any other witch guard? So just the two, the witch guard, the keep you involved and don't spam it?
Yeah, like I said, I'm really not the best person to ask because I'm just not the best person to ask. Cause I get tired quickly. Like my social battery just dies out and I'm just like, do not disturb for the rest of the day.
Like I said, to a certain degree, you are your father's child. Yeah, I get it. You know, you have to have a very special connection for me to continue. And these two that are no longer on my screen, they have a connection. And I'm in two other group chats that, but the thing is, maximum three. I can't do five. I can't do 10. No, don't randomly invite me to shit with 50 people. No, that's not going to work. But go ahead.
I do have one more. Never share what was said in the group chat.
And she tells me this now after I just shared what was in the group chat to the YouTube streets. But I get it.
To your viewers, yeah, you kind of messed that one up. But to be fair, it wasn't anything.
No, it was crazy. Not. You're not supposed to share, especially don't share no really personal information. I get that.
Yeah, what happens in the group chat stays in the group chat.
It's like Vegas. What happens in the group chat stays in the group chat.
Exactly. Those are my top three. That's it.
Okay, so we have keep you involved. Well, don't ignore me. Don't spam my shit. And don't share what goes on in the inbox. That's pretty much it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, you know. I mean, I jokingly told her last when she was leaving that I was gonna wait until right around the time she was gonna come in so I can have my quote unquote Mia rub on the podcast. I didn't really mean it, but it ended up being like that because I had to get my Sunday nap, but neither here nor there. Now, somewhat connected is the debut a Steffi time. Yes. You know what Steffi time is? Steffi time is any time that's devoted to yours truly, Mike Steph. Yeah, it's a ripoff of Tippy time, but fuck it. It's Steffi time out this bitch. Do you know what Steffi time is? Steffi time is when Mike Steph is trying to get busy with Mrs. Ooh. That could be referred to as Steffi time. Steffi time can be Mike Steph getting his precious sleep to keep his simply dashing face, his simply ravishing body kept up. That could be Steffi time. And yes, like I said, I'm co-opting Steffi time. Guess what? They co-op a lot of our shit, don't they? I think so. As long as I'm not saying toodles, they have nothing to worry about. Tell you the truth, this is really just an offshoot of the Dashing Ones persona. But to link this back into the group chat that I'm talking about, do you know that there was times in the past that I could be in the middle of strokes during Steffi time, and all of a sudden I hear click, 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 click. And I'm like, you know, at the tender age of 47, and this is no slight of me, and this is not me divulging too much information, but at the tender age of 47, during that particular session of Steffi time, you have to really concentrate on the subject at hand. You have to concentrate to make sure that there's no premature end of Steffi time, if you get my drift. So hearing clink, 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 just kind of just throws me off. And luckily I'm a pro at this, so I could think and stroke at the same time. And I think I'm getting way, 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 way off the beaten path. But Steffi time is the time that can be just, I guess I can entitle it self-care, but more or more of a vanity front. Going to get a haircut and shave is Steffi time. Going when you're going into the shower and you see some soap there that normally you know it's not yours and normally you wouldn't use, but that scent or just the way it makes your skin so nice and silky smooth, such as Milk and Honey soap, body lotion, well, body soap by Suave, or what is that? Cucumber lemon scrub by Bath and Body Works. Those are certain things that you have to indulge into yourself so you can have that special oomph, that special shine, that special glow that all the women love. And all the uggos crave. Yeah. I'm not going to start using the uggos because, you know, I'll tell you the truth, that's more like the Prince of Pretty, and I don't consider myself pretty. I consider myself handsome, debonair, dashing. But yeah, that's what Steffi time encompasses. So, group chat etiquette number 4. During those mid hours of the night where either A, your ass should be asleep, B, your ass should be knee deep in some cut, or getting some Z's from Nyquil will help you get your Z's. Maybe, just maybe, we do. I put a little pause, put a little time out. Time, not tech, time. Time out. When it clink, 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 clink. It makes me feel like
somebody's watching me. It is a fantasy. Whoa.
And that is your first, possibly last edition of Steffi Time. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Door to Mike Steph podcast. And you're probably wondering, if we're at the end, why do I see this parental advisory explicit content sticker on my screen? Well, because probably the last 5 to 10 minutes of this outro of this episode will feature very non-PC subjects and a lot of vulgar talk, because I got a clip that I'm probably going to run into the ground, and I really, really, really prevented myself from running into the ground before I got to this particular spot in the podcast. But before I get into all that, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me the podcast y'all choose to view and the podcast y'all choose to listen to. Next week, I'm letting y'all know right now, will be a WrestleMania recap. I'm debating on whether or not I'm going to give y'all a double barrel approach and go live after night one of WrestleMania, and then give y'all the full-fledged Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph off the top WrestleMania recap after night two. Haven't decided yet. Please, please, please keep in contact. Keep abreast of the community tab on the Mike Steph YouTube channel for updates on whether or not I'm going to give y'all one or two next weekend. But for all my non-wrestling heads, guess what? Unless some earth-shattering, groundbreaking news happens in the world of the NBA, in the world of the NFL, in, well, in this case, if the Mets win a game, maybe you can consider that earth-shattering information. Next weekend will be entirely dedicated to WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL, emanating from Philly. And in the lead up to WrestleMania XL, WrestleMania from Philly, me and Main Event K will be inhabiting the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, a mere stone throw away from your humble abode of Mike Steph. We will be going to the Go Home Show, the Go Home edition of Monday Night Raw, featuring the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, and the final boss. Yeah, I'm side note, I'm not ashamed to say it. This will be the first time I've seen The Rock in person. We got pump fake the last a couple years ago, but that's neither here nor there. That's water under the bridge. So this would be my first time to be in attendance to actually feel the electricity of the millions and millions of the final boss's followers, and you know, and actually gain the full appreciation of Roman Reigns' bloodline entrance, because the bloodline is currently in my city. So yeah, so that's what next week is going to be about. Let's get my little plugs out the way, and then I'm going to get out of here. First and foremost, let me get a shout out to the brothers from Gimmick Infringement, Winchester and McDowell, because yesterday, by the time y'all see it, it'll be the first. But yesterday made 2 years since my initial appearance on Gimmick Infringement, Sight Unseen, and they got a very, very different Mike Steph than what y'all accustomed to. Yeah, they got a very, very toned down Mike Steph, but maybe I did something right, because 2 years later, I consider them two of my closest friends, two of my closest buddies, two of my closest pals, two of my closest brothers from the left coast, well, from the desert. So, happy anniversary! Yeah! Happy anniversary! So, but yeah, it's been 2 years. Y'all doing good things. Y'all doing great things. Check them out on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel, because they're having a 4-part series in the lead up to WrestleMania. Talking about the stages of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to read it so I don't mess up this plug. It's a GI original. Along with their regular pod that's about to drop in. Matter of fact, dropped late Sunday night, early Monday morning. They're thrilled to announce A multi-part series on The Rock will drop this upcoming week before Rocky's WrestleMania return at DC Hendrix of fan-sided DDT. Joins them to discuss the most memorable moments in the electrifying career of the final boss. Tuesday, they will concentrate on the promos. Wednesday, they will concentrate on the feuds. Thursday, they will concentrate on the electrifying moments. And Friday, they will concentrate on the acting career of none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Check out my bros for Gimmick Infringement, Winchester, and McDowell on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group. Ha ha. Yo, this is crazy. I'm giving him a shout out right now, and he just hit up the inbox to say something that I will not divulge on the YouTube streets. I know. Smitty and Zal are like, whoa, how come we're fair game and Mr. McDowell is not? Well, just in this case, it's better for me to keep my mouth shut because I'm not starting not a damn thing. But he knows exactly what I'm referring to because it's about 12:41 in the a.m. So he can just go into the inbox and realize what he just inboxed me. And I'm going to be as quiet as that. Quiet as kept. So, yeah. So please check them out. While we're at it, I might as well get the plugs out the way for this. Check out the audio version of the Salty Thoughts and Mike Step podcast, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes of the audio version drop each and every Wednesday. Check me out on the social medias. Check me out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @MikeStephens_. Check me out on the gram at @Mike_Steph. And check me out on TikTok at @MikeSteph_. And guess what? New addition to the scroll at the bottom. New blog alert. New blog, MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com. Yeah, I try to at least give an entry a week. That means I'm behind a week. So that means check out the new blog, MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com, for my latest entry. Well, my next entry, my latest entry entitled The Anxious Mind is currently published. It's my point of view of what I deal with. I realized, or I finally got a definition of what I deal with, and it's an anxious mind, which makes you like totally overthink and overanalyze and parse everything with a fine-tooth comb. And I'm just learning how to understand what I deal with to kind of just like, you know, kind of level myself down, amongst other things. It actually brought on a conversation with one of my good friends, where it actually spurred a conversation with one of my good friends, my brothers, and even made me have more of an understanding of what I currently deal with and probably would deal with for eternity, because I thought it was a paranoid mind before, but guess what? It's actually an anxious mind. So yeah, check out the blog at MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com. Might as well wait for it to come down on the scroll again before I take this scroll off, so y'all know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, Mike Steph on the gram, Mike Steph on TikTok. Yeah, you see that? New blog, MikeSteph.org.wordpress.com. Pause it so you can actually get the address so you can go check out my shit. Ah, now this is the main event. Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King, and yours truly, Mike Steph. New episodes during the football season drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. A week or so ago, at the very beginning of the free agent frenzy, me and the Mojo King decided to drop a special free agent edition of Hidden Gems Football. And here's a clip of that episode. On the outside looking in, you're just like, yeah, they did Keenan Allen dirty. Tell you the truth, they might have done him a solid, because they're probably thinking, look, we're not going to win this year. Let's put you in a situation that maybe in a weaker conference, maybe you have more of an opportunity to succeed. Just me.
I'm back to terrible. All right. My problem with it, as much as I stated before, the other additional problem I have with it is that I believe what their idea is, that they feel like they're going to get a wide receiver early in the draft anyway, in which case now they have a new number one. I think it's complete hubris to think that you're going to get a Keenan Allen, that you're going to make the right selection to get yourself another Keenan Allen. So
fuck that.
Clear, guys.
Fuck that. You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rat doesn't give a fuck.
On the outside looking in, you're just like, yeah, they did Keenan Allen dirty. Tell you the truth, they might have did him a solid, because they're probably thinking, look, we're not going to win this year. Let's put you in a situation that maybe in a weaker conference, maybe you have more of an opportunity to succeed. Just me.
I'm back to terrible. All right. My problem with it, as much as I stated before, the other additional problem I have with it is that I believe what their idea is, that they feel like they're going to get a wide receiver early in the draft anyway, in which case now they have a new number one. I think it's complete hubris to think that you're going to get a Keenan Allen, that you're going to make the right selection to get yourself another Keenan Allen. So if I am a Chargers fan, I'm highly disappointed with what's happening so far. Because to tell you the truth, if you really want to start over, trade Herbert too.
No. No. Trade him. You already have the one piece.
Fuck that.
Clear, guys.
Fuck that. You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rat doesn't give a fuck.
Check out the latest edition of Hidden Gems Football featuring my brother, the co-host, the Mojo King, and myself, Mike Steph, on the YouTube page, on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. I swear, I've been holding back the whole episode to use that clip. That clip is a clip of The Rock after he busts Cody Rhodes' ass last week on WWE Monday Night Raw, and he was cursing up a storm. And after they finished, after the show went off the air, he was like, the director was like, all right, clear. All right, pretty much, you can stop whipping his ass. And you know what he said?
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rat doesn't give a fuck.
And I agree. You're not gonna tell me when to fucking stop busting his ass. I was busting his ass as long as I feel like busting his ass. You know why? Shut your mouth. Shit don't stop. The Rock don't give a fuck. I swear that clip is going to be a mainstay on this show. I'm telling any potential guests that come on here, if something goes on that I don't agree with, guess what's going to happen?
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that!
Yeah, exactly. His words, not mine, but I'm in 100% agreement, you know? So check out.
To you slowly, and it may sound scandalous. I don't think that you can handle this.
Check that out right now. It's currently live on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. There's no way for me to follow that, so I'm not even going to attempt to do it. Even though I'm looking at these group texts by which go up by Tyler, but I'm not going to do it, because guess what? I'm an honorable man. I am a man of principle. I'm a man of honor.
I will fight for your right, for your honor. I will be hero that you're dreaming of. Do this together, long as forever you see. Did it all for the glory of love.
Not for the group chat. It's just that witch boy, that tune from the Karate Kid Part 2 just came to my head, and I just had to riff that off. So with all that being said, I will see y'all next week. Until next time.
Fuck that!
Clear, guys.
Fuck that! You shut your mouth. Doesn't mean that the shit stops. The rat doesn't give a fuck.
Goodbye.
Bye. As I sit back, relax, steam a blunt, sip of X.
think about the sexy singers that I wanna sex. I probably go to jail for fucking Patti LaBelle. Ooh, Regina Bell, she probably do me swell. Jasmine Guy was fly, Mariah Carey's kinda scary. Wait a minute, what about my honey Mary? Them jeans, they fitting like a glove. I had a crush on you since real love, huh? Hold your horses, I'ma show you who the boss of intercourse is. Sex, I'm taking no losses. Even groups like SWV and TLC can't see B.I.G. with telepathy. The recipe, a picture hardcore with the gun. Pippin' ain't easy, but it sure is fun. When I bust my nuts, I bust them one by one. So what's the 411, hun?
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, what I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, I'm saying.
I put Shanté more pussy in stitches. I fucked RuPaul before I fucked them ugly ass skate bitches. You can 76 to 69, try 68. Make Raven Simone call date break. Only cause I'm paid, I'm fucking all of Jade. Gave my DJ Janae, he like it when they say, everybody, move your body. Got Whitney Houston boosted from Bobby. As I bust the cherry, your mama couldn't tarry. Back shots to Shaka, I know that pussy hairy. Sade, ooh, I know that pussy tight. Smack Tina Turner, give her flashbacks to Ike. Smoke a stone, fucking in Vogue, because it's four of them. Jimmy hats for Patra, I'm using all of them.
What about Tony Braxton?
If that bitch give me action, guaranteed satisfaction.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking an R&B bitch.
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
No, I'm saying to me, I ain't trying to diss my honey. No,
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
But I would hit all of y'all.
I'm saying.